Psalm 139, and we're going to be looking beginning with verse number 7 in just a moment. We have probably all played a game called hide and seek. You guys might call it something over here different than I called it as a kid, but hide and seek is that game where you have all your players and everybody goes and hides and one person goes to try to find them. And sometimes we, if we're not careful, we try to play hide and seek with God. And we try to do our own little thing and live our own little life and do the things we want to do and think that we can somehow hide in God. And it doesn't work. Because you can't fool God and you can't hide on God. And that is a foolish thing to try to do. It's a waste of time to try to play hide and seek with God. It's impossible to win. Impossible. And this evening as we look at this passage here, we're going to see in the second six verses of this passage that God tells us that we cannot hide from Him. Look at verse number six, or seven, sorry. Whither shall I go from thy presence? Sorry, whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall the hand lead me, and the right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. This evening, as we look at this, I want us to just take it phrase by phrase and examine this passage as we did last week and see what we can learn here that can be of help to us. But we see here, first of all, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I go from the spirit? David is asking a rhetorical question. He says the answer is obviously you can't. Alright, so where can I go from God's Spirit? And he says, there's no place to go. I can't get away from God. And His Spirit here, we ask ourselves an important question. What's He talking about? Is He talking about the Holy Spirit? Maybe. But we also see, remember what Jesus said over in John chapter 4? Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And Jesus said to her in John chapter 4 in verse number 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Because God is a spirit, he's everywhere. Because God is a spirit. You know, we have a human body, so our body is in one place at one time. You know, I am right here, can't be anywhere else. And you are right here, and you can't be anywhere else. We're physical. But God is a spirit, and because God is a spirit, he can be everywhere all at once. And I think that's probably what he's talking about here. It is true, the Holy Spirit is everywhere all at once too, but he's talking here about God as in general here. So I think it's probably the former idea. So the idea of this statement is that since God is a spirit, not confined to a body, he's everywhere at the same time. Now that's something that'll get your mind going. God is everywhere at the same time. We can't grasp that. We can kind of know it, but to really think about that God is everywhere all the time, it's hard to grasp. Then he goes on, he says, whither shall I flee from thy presence? The word presence there is a word that is often used in the scriptures. It talks about to be in the face of somebody, in their presence. Right now, you are in my presence. You are before me. You're in my face. And you're facing me. And so that's the idea. Where, he says here, where or shall I flee from God's presence? Where can I go that God, I'm not in God's face. I'm not right in front of God. Where God cannot see me like that. He says the answer is obviously nowhere. There's no place I can possibly go. I can't get away from God. And so he's emphasizing that. David knew that there was no place on earth or in the universe that he could run away from God's presence. Now, what's the doctrinal term? You boys know the doctrinal term for that? When you cannot get away from God's presence and God is everywhere present? It's omnipresence. Omnipresence. Omni means everywhere. Presence, of course, means presence, like we talked about here. So, omnipresent. And the omnipresence of God is something that, as I mentioned a moment ago, If you wake up at night and you can't get back to sleep, you think about the omnipresence of God. That'll give you something to think about. That God is everywhere all the time. He's in America right now. He's in Africa right now. He's in Europe right now. He's right here with us right now. He's with people down south. He's up everywhere. God is always everywhere present. That's a hard one to grasp. The fact that God is everywhere at the same time is a frightening thought if you're doing wrong. If you're doing wrong, that ought to scare you to realize you can't get away from God. You can't play hide and seek on God. You're never going to be able to get away from God. You try to hide into your sin, you will never succeed. You can't hide from God. But at the same time, it is very comforting to know that God is everywhere present. It's comforting because no matter where I go, God is there. No matter where you go, God is there. We can always be sure God is with us, no matter where, no matter what, no matter what takes place, God is with us. And that is a great blessing. In the midst of any trial we go through, God is there. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God is everywhere. He sees the good, he sees the bad. You can't hide from God. So, we see in verse number 7 here that God's omnipresence is explained to us or defined for us. We see in verse number 8, he goes on, he says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there." You know, David looked up into the starry sky. You know, just picture in your mind, you know, David had been a shepherd. He had spent a lot of time out there in the fields, many evenings, many nights out there with the sheep, looking up in the stars of the sky. And, you know, when you're away from the cities, we get spoiled when we're out in the country because you can look up in the sky and you see, it looks like there's twice as many stars as there are when we look up in the city because we have all the city lights that distract it. But you get way out. David never had any city lights to compete with. So all that he would ever see when he looked up and see all these millions of stars up in the sky. And as he looked up in that starry sky, he said, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I went up there where the stars are, God is still there, no matter where I go." Can never leave God's presence. David probably here, the idea is when he says, if I ascend up into heaven, it very well could be that as he thought about those stars and the distance of the stars, and if he zoomed up into the stars as far as he could go to the last star he could see, God would be there. And you know, today it is still true, but it takes on even a greater magnitude. Because now we have telescopes. David didn't have a telescope. We have telescopes that can look out there and they tell us that no matter how large of a telescope they get, the bigger the telescope, the more stars they see. And every time they look out there, they see more and more stars. And there's millions of galaxies, and every galaxy has millions of stars in it. It is unbelievable. The billions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars that are out there. And David said, no matter where I go, you are there. God is all over, out there in the farthest outreaches of space, beyond the farthest star. And then he goes on, he said, "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." And the word hell in the Bible is the Old Testament is the word Sheol. Sheol is a word that refers to the place of the dead. All right? So good people and bad people went to Sheol. It was the place of the dead. Sometimes that's why some of the cults refer to it as the grave and say, no, Sheol is nothing but the grave. Well, that's not true. It does refer to the grave in some senses, but it also refers to good places and bad places. And there's no question that several times, many times in the Bible, it refers to a place of torment and sadness. So Sheol was a place where there was, best we can understand, there was paradise and there was hell in Sheol. And David said, if I go down to Sheol, you know, it's interesting. We think of hell as being someplace down. God doesn't really tell us where it is. But we'll assume it's down. He's contrasting here with the stars above. He looks up in the sky. As far as I can see up in the sky, God, you're there. If I went down, as far as I can think of going down to Sheol, the worst of the deepest places, he said, God would still be there. God, when he was speaking to the people of Amos's day, Amos the prophet preached to the people and he said, he's quoting God here, he says, "Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel," that's the mountain there in Israel, I will stretch, I will search and take them out from thence. Though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command a serpent and he shall bite them. God says, you're not going to go away from me. You're not going to go away from me. You know, you need to think about some of the deep places of the earth. I did a little research. I wondered how deep are some of the deepest mines. The deepest mine in the world, unless it's changed since the article was written, the deepest mine in the world is in South Africa, not too far from Johannesburg. And it is 3.84 kilometers deep. Can you imagine being 3.8 kilometers underground? No thanks, I'll let somebody else. But David said here, if I go to the depths from the deepest place I could possibly go, or to the heights as high as I could possibly go, God is still there. God is still there. That is a wonderful thought. You can't get away from God. And he goes on in verses 9 and 10. They actually go together, so we'll read them together. He says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and the right hand shall hold me. So he says here, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. David could see the light coming up in the morning. When he talks about the wings in the morning, wings, they, you know, they picture the wings of the birds and they could flutter and fly away quickly. And you know, you startle a little bird and boom, they take off like a little rocket and they're gone. And so David was using this as a picture as of the morning sunlight. When the morning sunlight comes up, it spreads all over in every place. He said, even to the furthest part of the sea, if he stood out on the ocean side, you can look out there and as far as you can see, and then there's nothing but a horizon. He said, if I could take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, if I could zoom like the sunlight and go to the farthest side of the sea, he said, even God's out there. God's out there. You know, whether David comprehended the fact that the earth was a globe or not, we don't know. But we do know that the farthest point of the sea is a long way away. And he could look out there and he says, God is out there just like he's here. Even if I could zoom out there, God is still there. Even though, he said, even there shall a hand lead me, and the right hand shall hold me. If David could have flown over the sea, just like we can in the jets, he knew that in his heart that even by speeding to that distant location, God would be there to lead him and to guide him. He believed that God's right hand of strength would hold him firmly. Now think about that. That's an important thing. If no matter where we go, if we went to the furthest away place, God's hand is there to guide us and to hold us. God's hand. You need a picture, when I think of the hand of God, I often think of the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 talks about holding the mountains in the palm of his hand and the waters and of the earth in the palm of his hand. But you know, you think about the bigness of God and the greatness of God. When you realize the fact that he's everywhere, to the furthest distant star, to the depths of the earth, he's everywhere. Even thinking about all the things of the earth being in the palm of his hand, it doesn't really match that. Our God is a great God. He's a God that is everywhere. And so his right hand is over us. We need not fear that God is not near. Even when we are 40,000 feet in the air and a jet flying across the world, God is there. Then in verse number 11, he says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. This is kind of a hypothetical type of a statement. He's saying, surely the darkness will cover me. You know, we go outside at night and it's black outside and you think you can hide in the darkness. And, you know, many times on real black, dark nights, that is possible. You can hide in the dark. And it's common for children to be afraid of the dark. And even as adults, you know, there's something unsettling about darkness. I can't say as I really enjoy taking walks in the dark. You just don't know what's out there. As a young boy, I've told you this before, but it just sticks in my mind so vividly. We used to sometimes grow corn right behind our house. And in order to get from the house to the barn, you had to go through the cornfield. Well, it was fine when the corn was little, but when the corn was over my head. And you have to walk through this little narrow path at night. As a little boy, I'm thinking, I don't want to do that. I don't mind following Dad, but if Dad's ahead of me, I'm going to hang on his shirt. I'm not going to let him out of my sight, you know. But there's something fearful about that, of the unknown. Many times there's nothing there to hurt us, but the unknown is fearful. And David here is presenting this, surely the darkness shall cover me. And the word cover there is an interesting word. You look it up and it's never used very many times, but it most of the time refers to bruising something. To bruise. Then what would that have to do with covering him in the darkness? But it may be just an indication of the fearfulness. There's something bad going to hurt me. It's going to bruise me. It's going to hurt me that's out there in the dark. And it's a fearful thought. And David was thinking of these things. And David knew that even in the darkness, when darkness threatened to harm him, God was still with him. Doesn't matter where we go. Doesn't matter what fearful thing we may face. God is still there with us. God will take care of us. God will meet our needs. And we can be sure of that. And it'll be a help to us. Then he goes on, even the night shall be light about me. Even the night shall be light about me. You know, today we have infrared night vision cameras that they can see in the dark. Interesting things, you think about that. I know some of you may even have those kind of cameras in your house. God's perfect vision surpasses any of those infrared vision cameras. God can see perfectly in the dark. Even the night shall be a light about me, David said. There's nothing going to hide me from God. David knew that from God's perspective, that the blackest night was still light with God. No matter how black it is outside. I think if you've ever been deep, deep inside of a cave, it's probably the darkest place you've ever been. I remember years ago, Melody and I took the boys. The boys went with us, didn't they, Mel? I think so. Yeah, we went to Mammoth Cave in the States. And it's huge. They took us down deep, deep, deep inside. We got into this room inside, and the leader was down there with his light. And he says, now, folks, listen, don't panic. But I want to show you what total blackness looks like. I'm going to shut the lights off, but don't panic. I'll turn them back on in a moment. And he shut those lights off, and it was black. You put your hand right there in front of your nose. You couldn't see a thing. It was black. And yet in the pitch black like that, God can see perfectly. There's nothing can hide from God. God is an amazing person. We read then in verse number 12. He says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. In my youth, my brother and I used to love having friends over at night. So we'd have a couple of, especially, I remember two boys that would come over often in the evenings. Their parents were friends with my parents, and they'd come over in the evenings, and it was black outside. And we used to play a game called Kick the Can. This game, Kick the Can, was sort of like hide and seek, but it was different. It had different rules. We'd have an old tin, that was our can, and we put that in a place near a light. So we had a big light pole. We put it near there so that everybody could see it. This can was sitting on the ground. And then everybody went to hide, but then the one person that was it, he was the guard of that can. And he had to make sure nobody kicked that can. But he'd have to wander off looking for people, and he'd try to find them, and at the same time watching that can, make sure nobody was going to run in there and kick that can. And he'd be wandering off, and your goal was to sneak up in the dark as close as you could. And as soon as you saw the guard was far enough away, you think, can I make it? Can I make it? I think I can. And you run as fast as you can, try to kick the can before he gets back. But if he put his foot on it and called your name, you were out. Then you had to help him. And they'd keep going until somebody, either they caught all of the people or else somebody would kick the can. It was a lot of fun. But it required being able to be there in the dark. You could play the game in the daylight, we have, but it was a lot more fun in the dark because then you could sneak up much easier in the dark. Darkness hides our deeds. That's why there's so much more crime at night because darkness hides the deeds. People can't see them sneaking up. People can't see them in the dark. And the many animals go out hunting at night in the dark because that helps them. And so there's a lot of things. You know, we don't have that night vision like God does. But that game that we played there would never work with God, because God can see just as well in the dark as he can see in the light. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24 says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Says the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Says the Lord." God said, "I fill everything. I fill all of heaven. I fill all the earth. I am everywhere. You cannot possibly hide from me." It is a wonderful truth about our God. And then he ends up the verse 12. He says, "The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." The darkness and the light are just like for God. You know, with us, that's not true. When it gets dark, we struggle to see. We all grab a light of some sort, you get a torch, or you get something, you gotta find it because you can't see it. And we've all tripped and stubbed our toe over something in the dark because we didn't have a light. And then you say, "Oh, I should have turned the light on. I got a sore toe." But God, he can see just as perfectly well in the dark as he can in the light. Darkness doesn't bother God. Once again, this is both convicting and comforting. People that do bad in the dark try to hide their sins from others. They can sometimes hide it from humans, but they'll never hide their sin from God. Can't. But the comforting side is to know that on the blackest nights, God sees and can protect me from any danger that's around. Doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter where I go, doesn't matter what the trouble, whether it's an actual darkness or whether it's the darkness of burdens and troubles, God is there and God can see and God can help us. We cannot get away from God. God is there to comfort and strengthen us. So there's two sides to this. We cannot hide from God. He is present everywhere. And in he's everywhere in the universe and beyond. Can't imagine where God could not be, because he's always everywhere. No matter how high we fly or how low we burrow into the earth, God is still there and he still sees us. We're speeding across the sky in a jet. God's hands are still there to guide us and hold us securely. It's always a comfort. I'm not a real fan of flying. I don't get fearful of it, but I can't say that I get excited about it either. Right. Thinking about you being way, way up there in the air, and you think, this is weird, you know. But God is there. God has his hand around us, and we need to remember that. It's an encouragement. And even in total blackness, God sees us clearly as a noonday sun. And we have a great God. It is useless to try to hide from him. It is peaceful knowing that he's always by our side. He's always there. I challenge you to ponder these verses. Better yet, memorize them. Mel and I have memorized the first 12 verses. Probably need to get brushed up on it a bit. Her memory is better than mine, but it's a great passage. You can memorize a whole chapter. The next verses we're going to look at, Lord willing, next week are not quite as familiar as the first 12, but they're still great verses. It's an awesome chapter. It's got lots of stuff in it that can be helped you. And things. Last week we looked at the characteristics of God, that he sees us no matter where. He can see all things. Now we saw that he's present everywhere. He's everywhere. You cannot hide from God. He's always there. So we have a wonderful, awesome God. And you children, let that soak into your mind. Meditate on that as you sleep on your pillow tonight. Think about the fact that God is everywhere. You're never going to get away from God. He's always there. And that'll help to keep you out of trouble and out of sin. The next time you are tempted to sin, you remember God's right there. He sees everything. You cannot hide anything from God. He sees it all. He's right there beside you.